What's up, guys? Welcome to The Casual Investor, where we deep dive all things real estate and investing. We pick the brains of market leaders in their field. That way we can fast forward you from where you are to where you want to be in your real estate investing career using their knowledge and experience. My name is Austin Mitchell, and on today's episode, we have Sydney Kaminsky.
Hey, guys.
Perfect. And I'm super excited to get into this because she is a very successful mortgage broker. She's in law school. She's owned a gym. Like, she's got a plethora of background experience. And so we're going to deep dive mainly into increases and decreases in mortgage loan rates. Mm-hmm. And that way we can kind of get a ballpark of that. And then also we have a bonus for our Hampton Roads listeners. So she's got a good pulse on what this market is doing right now with home sales. And so we're going to deep dive into that. But first, I want to go into a little bit of a background story,
if you
don't mind. Yeah. So Sydney has been in a little bit of everything. She started this game 2009, 2010. Started out as a real estate admin and is all the way now to the point where she co-owns her own mortgage brokerage, Dolphin Home Loans. And it's one of the top performing home loans, mortgage brokerages in the area. She did over $100 million her very first year. They have a 13-day clear to close on average. So super impressive. And so if you could, Sydney, just take me back kind of to the beginning where this all started, 2009, 2010, and how you made your initial jump into real estate.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I first actually started my career. I worked a couple months for Chris Weaver when he was starting the Chris Weaver team way before Atlantic Sotheby's was in place. And I think we had about 10 of us maybe in that office, and I was doing admin and marketing for them. I went over to Prudential. It was Prudential Town Realty at that time. Town had just purchased them from the Decker family. And I actually worked directly for Trey and John Decker, and then kind of transitioned mostly to just work for Trey. So if you are in this area, you know their names.
Yeah.
Their family has been in real estate for a very long time, and they're still really good friends of mine, actually. So I worked with Trey for about 4 or 5 years. We did, at that time, it was right after the market crash.
Mm-hmm.
So all we did was Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loans, and we turned them over from getting them to evicting people, to repairing the homes, all the way to putting them on the market and selling them. And I think we were doing anywhere from 60 to over 100 units in a year. And I mean, we would manage all the utilities. We would have contractors go into the homes and repair the homes, manage those budgets, and price out the homes. So it was nonstop fucking work all the time. But thankfully, I mean, we crushed it. And even to this day, Trey and I joke around. He's like, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be where I was. So, and it was just a two-man team, just us rolling through homes all the time.
That's exciting. So, I mean, yeah, so you kind of hit the ground full speed. And so walk me through what that looked like. So obviously the market crashed. People are starting to get their homes foreclosed. So you came in, you had to evict these people, and then you were kind of doing flips on these houses to get them back up and then resold them on the market.
Yep. It just depended on the price range of the house, what we could do to it. A lot of the times, you know, some of them would sell as is, but if we found homes that were in desirable neighborhoods that needed just a little fixing up, we worked with a contractor in this area, and we would get carpet, paint, a couple bathroom renovations done to it, and just be able to sell it on a better value.
That's awesome. Yeah, so we just had an interview a week or so ago, and I learned the term lipstick flip. Is that valid? Is that what they call where it
come in?
Yeah, a lipstick flip. Perfect.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, that's super crazy. Just to have that kind of volume and that kind of experience in that short amount of time, I feel like that's super helpful. And that's kind of what fast forwarded forward. And so now I just learned that you did take a break between leaving that admin role, and then you went and ran a gym for a couple of years. So tell me about that. Obviously, that's intriguing.
Intriguing, but not as fun as I thought it would be.
Yes.
Which I think you know.
Yes.
So, yeah, I got my personal training license through NASM, and I was like, all right, perfect. I'm going to go do this on the side. And so I was working both jobs as foreclosures started slowing down, and my father owned a gym for about 20 years. And I really, you know, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with my life. I was only 22, just turned 23. And I decided, you know, this is something that piqued my interest. Well, in May of 2014, my dad actually suddenly passed. So I ended up I had already been working at his gym part-time, just doing, you know, training clients and trying to break into that. And all of a sudden I had this gym thrown in my lap.
Mm-hmm.
And we had about 10 plus employees, and it was, I took it on and I ran it. I wouldn't say we were super successful because I made no money, but I kept the doors open. So that's,
yeah.
made sure everyone else was paid. So I would say it's success in that.
Yeah.
And then I ended up selling to Natural Bodies Fitness in 2016. Saw that transition out for a year, and then decided to get back into real estate.
Awesome. Okay. So to piggyback that, yeah. So that's super, it's crazy because for those of y'all that don't know, I had my start in the CrossFit space. So I opened a CrossFit gym, and our timelines are almost identical. So I opened mine at 22, 23, ran it. I lost my father in 2014, and then just
so
ran the gym.
So we basically have the same type of story.
Literally, like, the same. It's crazy. And so, but it is exciting to hear that you can get out of that space and move into something new and still have success. So that's kind of the transition I'm in. But let's get back to 2017. Now, this is really where some of these big events started to happen. So you found mortgage lending, and you became a mortgage broker.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. So pick me up there. And how did that story go?
So one of my actual clients and longtime family friends was one of the regional managers at Town Bank.
Mm-hmm.
They had recently merged with Monarch Bank. And I had been telling him that I thought about going back into real estate. When I previously worked with Trey, I went through Alpha College of Real Estate,
mm-hmm.
but never actually used my license. Which was kind of, I look back and I'm like, wow, I was young and dumb. I should have done that. But it, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
and so, you know, he talked to me about the lending aspect. And it just, as a new mom, it just seemed a little bit more feasible, you know, not having to go out on weekends and show houses or on evenings. And it felt like something that actually I would probably be a little bit better at because I am very, data savvy.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing that. I jumped in head first, and I'm one of those people, if it is a high reward and high risk, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So I went straight into that. I left the gym immediately. I stopped, like, everyone was like, why don't you just train on the side? I was like,
no.
I'm doing this. I'm done. If I'm going to do it, I have to do it right and put 100% in versus, you know, 10% or 20%. And in my first year, I didn't close that much, but I had learned a lot, and I had really started hitting the fast track on essentially marketing myself.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people had been not really utilizing social media the way they should.
Mm-hmm.
So I really hit the game hard on social media. That includes videos, posts,
mm-hmm.
And then, you know, getting out there and using that as a background to network.
Mm-hmm.
So entering into a room, because I had already been pinning on people, you know, they knew me from social media at that point, and that's how I just became pretty quickly successful in a high rate market, which is pretty hard because we weren't having those 2% rates back then.
Mm-hmm.
I remember getting somebody a 4.75, and everyone was like, "Oh my God, that's amazing!" and that was for a VA loan.
Yeah,
like geez. So, and people, you know, we're in a high rate market environment right now. People forget that wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
Granted, rates are higher, but I came into the company then, decided to go to be a independent mortgage broker,
mm-hmm.
Which with independent brokers, it's a lot more risk on you individually because now you're individually licensed,
mm-hmm.
Versus falling under the bank's license. So it's, say if something goes wrong, you have a client that's upset, or you get audited, you're more liable to get in trouble.
Right.
So you have to really be exact with compliance and the legalities of everything. So again, high risk, high reward, jump straight into that. And that's really when my career started taking off. And I had just had my daughter, Remy, and probably about 3 weeks after she was born, I put her in my baby carrier and we basically moved into my office, and she was with me pretty much every day until she was about 6 months old and we started going to daycare.
Yeah, that's
yeah, you make it work.
Yeah.
And then, so, you know, that was really when my career skyrocketed. And then after that, I was able to, I had the opportunity to, meet with Jason Andrews, who started Dolphin Home Loans, but it was just a one-man shop.
Mm-hmm.
And him and Dave Wynn, Dave Wynn and Greg Bell are two of my very closest friends.
Okay.
And they're the other partners in Dolphin. So we had all kind of met together, decided to do Dolphin together, and all four of us are partners now.
You're just crushing it.
Yep.
Absolutely crushing it. That's awesome. And so, okay, to piggyback now, so out of my own curiosity, if somebody were to get into mortgage lending now, you said you were utilizing a lot of social. Like, what were you putting out? Would you recommend doing that now or the same thing?
I think social media is an incredible tool for branding. It really is. I mean, you look at some of the most wealthy people in the world, and where they brand is on social media.
Yeah.
One, it is completely free.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy ad space and stuff like that too. But at the end of the day, if you build a presence, it is completely free. I highly recommend people do videos. It doesn't matter if it's doing a video on your personal life or business. I think a mix of the both is kind of where that sweet spot is, because people don't want to always be sold something, but they want to feel like they learned something.
Yes,
and then they want to feel like they know you as well. So.
Yeah. If it's too classy, then like you feel like you're showing up to take notes and it's just not the same vibe. But like, if you can learn it through a conversation or something, I think that is that sweet spot. And so, again, anybody getting started in this world, what does a mortgage broker do? How do you get that title? And kind of what does that entire title entail?
Okay. So you have retail space and you have mortgage brokers.
Okay.
Retail space, the bank funds the loan,
mm-hmm.
and then they sell that loan off market.
Okay.
Typically 30 to 60 days after closing. Sometimes it's almost immediate. Brokers, we wholesale our loans directly to the same lenders that purchase those loans on the secondary market. So because of that, we're able to keep our margins more compressed. And as partners, we don't make $500,000 a year salaries.
Right, yeah.
Like, it just doesn't happen. But at a retail space, if you're a CEO or a regional manager, you're going to be making $250,000 to $500,000 a year.
Mm.
For us, we, as brokers, we keep our margins slim, so we still originate, and that's how we make our income. But at the end of the day, that money essentially goes back to the client. So our pricing is usually 75 to 100 basis points better than the retail lender, because we have, less overhead to cover.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So that would be 0.75 to 1% lower
mm-hmm.
than a typical, rate. And so that's super interesting. So, like, if you are looking to get mortgage, then I would highly recommend searching out a mortgage broker.
Yeah.
Correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And a lot of the top agents around this area are really in tune with making sure their clients get the better rate. And any agent, I think, that knows what they're doing, they always tell people, like, listen, go out and get two quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Who you jive with, who you think will do this job better for you,
mm-hmm.
and who has a better rate.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, I've had clients tell me, they're like, and people have beaten my rates before too.
Yeah.
Some lenders are able to cut costs in certain areas, and they're able to provide that concession. And I tell the client every time, if they feel bad, I'm like, listen, I'm not the one making your mortgage payments. You are.
Yeah.
So go with whatever payment fits your financial livelihood. Like,
right.
I'm not going to tell you that you have to go with me and your payment's $30 higher when you can save
$30. Yeah, yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's always good to get two quotes, maybe three, and just go with the one that fits their financial portfolio a little bit best.
Okay. Okay. So when they're out there looking, I mean, obviously they want to have that good personal relationship. And I think
mm-hmm.
that is what is unique in this scenario, where they would have personal contact
yeah.
with a mortgage broker.
Yep.
But then also, like, the rates are lower. And so when they're out here looking, what exactly are they looking for to differentiate the different companies or what they should go with? Is it ultimately just the rate, or are there other things that come along with it?
I think the two other biggest things are clear to close time.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a 13-day clear to close time average. You absolutely want to get to the closing table without any hiccups, and use somebody that knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Not every loan is the same. So, you know, it might look the same from the front, but there's, you know, you're going to get someone's bank statements if there's large transactions, you know, those things are going to get questioned.
Mm-hmm.
So you need someone on the front end who can ask those questions, because they've been through it
yeah.
in order to get your loan closed on time.
Yeah.
And someone who is reputable in the area. There have been multiple times where a selling agent or a listing agent has gotten a contract and it has my name on it and they have a personal relationship with me and they reach out to me. And at the end of the day, if you have two exact contracts that are exact same and one lender, they don't know who it is, or it's Navy Federal or something like that, or somebody that put a bad taste in their mouth. And then the next one, they're like, oh, I know Sydney.
Yeah.
Sydney and I are cool. I have her cell phone number already. They're going to go with the person that they know they need to work with.
Awesome. All right, guys, and we are back. So this never goes as planned, but we got kicked out of the conference room we were in. So now we are in Sydney's office, picking back up. So we were talking about Dolphin Home Loans, but in mostly this area. And if you are looking for a mortgage lender in the Hampton Roads area, Sydney is more than capable. Her company has 14 originators with two new coming on. So they're more than capable of taking care of you, whatever you need. So if you're looking for a home right now, especially in this market with the interest rates doing what they're doing, Sydney's going to be your best bet to check that out. And now the big topic that we want to get into today is going to be getting a pulse on the increases and decreases in rates.
Yep.
And I want to pick your brain on that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
So I'm going to give that to Sydney. Where are we going to go with that?
All right. So, I mean, essentially, if you look at what's happened in the last 12 months ago, last year, rates have doubled since then. Okay, so there's a lot of sticker shock involved in how quickly rates have risen. Most of the time, it's usually a gradual phase over a couple years, but we went from 2% rates to 3% rates straight into now we're 6-7.
Yeah.
So the shock value of that is really hard. And at the end of the day, because we had such low inventory for so long, and we still do, that the time that people were buying earlier this year and last year was incredibly difficult as well, because you had to have cash on hand. Mm-hmm. So it essentially eliminated several buyers out of the market because homes were selling so rapidly and overvalue with appraisal guarantees, multiple offer situations, that a lot of buyers really just were not able to nail down the house. And those buyers coming into purchasing today are now priced out of the homes they were looking at last year because of the rate increase. So they either have to deal with the rate increase or readjust what they want to purchase. And a lot of people ask, you know, like the big thing, the Fed is raising the rates. Oh my God. So we are not, mortgage rates are not actually, they are not too affected by the Fed. Right. They ebb and flow with it, but when the Fed makes an announcement that they're raising interest rates, those are more for short term and smaller loans. So at the end of the day, when you go buy a car or you get a credit card, personal loans, those are the things that you are going to see have those you know, larger interest rates based off of that. Mortgage rates are more long-term. That's how lenders make their money, is, you know, you have 30-year notes, 20-year notes, 15-year notes versus something that has a 5-year note. Our rates are so high because of inflation. So once inflation starts settling out, even if the Fed still has rates up here, inflation, if it stabilizes or goes down, we're going to see those rates kind of go down. And a lot of people, I mean, at the end of the day, that's what the government's trying to do with raising rates, is to get people to stop buying, because inflation is too much money and too little of goods.
Yeah.
So all those, I mean, I remember you couldn't get the car that you wanted. You couldn't get supplies, like building supplies.
Yeah.
So we're seeing all these shortages, and now we really need to cut down those costs. So that people can actually resume normal spending. And you need inflation at about 1% a year.
Mm-hmm.
We're over 8%, I think, for this year. So hopefully in the beginning of the quarter of 2023, the first quarter, we should see rates start to decrease. And everyone's saying 12 to 15 months, they should be back under 5%. So if you purchase now, get the home you like. Equity is always going up.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to change. It's either going to stabilize and plateau for a little bit, but it's not going to go down. And Hampton Roads has been underpriced for our region, being a coastal region, for a very long time, and we're kind of playing catch up.
Oh, okay. So you think all of the area is still poised to go up big time? Okay,
yep, cool. Absolutely.
Well, you answered all my questions. I was everything she was saying, I was like, well, what's this? So I think the big takeaways there are, like, you know, contrary to what – I mean, I've always heard, too, that it's pinned to the Fed, but it could work in tandem. They don't have to be exactly parallel. So yeah. Rates can go up and down regardless of what the Feds are doing. But obviously, if the Fed's going up, then there's a reason the rates are going up, too. I think that's interesting because as long as inflation goes down, then – We should see.
And it also depends what it, you know, there are catastrophes and stuff mm-hmm. that happen. I know when rates significantly dropped right at the beginning of COVID, what we saw was that rates were so low that there also became a liquidity issue because mm-hmm. now the banks were lending more money in refinances and home buying purchases than they expected to or had budgeted for. So there became a huge liquidity issue. And a lot of lenders will remember in about May of 2020, rates skyrocketed up. It only lasted about a month and then they went back down.
Right.
But everyone was in a panic. It doesn't matter where the Fed was at that point because the Fed was as low as it could possibly get
yeah.
and rates still skyrocketed up and it's due to liquidity issues, inflation. So you never know what's going to happen in the market. Things can kind of spiral out of control. But at the end of the day, once we get to a more stable market, the volatility will stabilize and the rates will get better.
And that's good news. And so, you think in a year from now, they should be getting closer back to that 5% rate?
5% or less.
That's awesome.
I think that's an average market rate. Like, for a healthy market, that's where rates have to
be.
Right.
Okay. So, that's kind of where the homeostasis ends
yep.
up. Okay. Do you work with a lot of investors? So, I'm still early in the investor game as well. And mm-hmm. so, I'm not one of those that can come in and just, you know, throw full cash on $200,000 property. Do you work with a lot of investors who are trying to acquire single family homes to rent and yep. hold long term?
So rental, I have a lot of renters, our investors who buy renter properties.
Mm-hmm.
And those are an amazing purchase no matter what the rate is at. You just have to look long term for the revenue that you will be producing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have DSCR programs for that as well. So you don't always have to be held to a debt to income ratio when purchasing a rental investment property.
Okay.
Flips, we don't necessarily work with when I tell people if they're doing a flip, because you have to remember rates are long term. That's how lenders make their money.
Right.
So if somebody buys a house for 6 months, flips it, sells it, that's the exact opposite what
yes.
any mortgage company wants. In that case, I tell people to go to a commercial line of credit. And I always send my stuff to Chris Bray for that.
Okay. Perfect. And then with specifically for an investor, what was that loan program that you had?
DSCR.
Okay. And what does that say?
So it's the, oh my God, hold on. Let me look it up.
It's okay. It's remembering okay. all the letters is tough sometimes.
DSCR.
But I think overview, what is that? What does that entail? Is it like a certain
debt service
amount that you have to put down?
Coverage ratio loan.
Okay.
So, and I always forget that because I just call it an investor loan.
Okay.
So what it is it, you're not tied down to a debt to income ratio. You are approved based on what the property rents for.
Right. Okay. And so if it rents for more than the principal and interest, could you get less down? So I've heard of programs where you can come in 15% down instead of the typical 20% on mm-hmm. a single family home. As long as the principal and interest are 115% of the loan.
You can, and that is it's not every lender that does that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very heavily dependent because you're not really in that high rate market right now.
Yeah.
You're not really seeing that.
Yeah.
But what it does do is at 20% down,
mm-hmm.
You need to meet certain qualifications in order to get that loan. And if a rent schedule comes back and it's not met, if you put down an extra 10%,
mm-hmm.
they don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Then they approve the loan.
So if you
put down 30, say you put down 30 to 35%,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be approved pretty much no matter what the home is going mm-hmm. to rent at.
Awesome. Okay.
Yep.
That's very interesting. All right. And so now for the bonus for our Hampton Roads listeners, you've got a pretty good pulse on what the home market's doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us some insight?
Yes. So actually I had my husband's a realtor and I always make him get me like the rain statistics and pull them up for me so I can make sure I'm in the loop in Hampton Roads. So in August 2022, homes were selling at 100.6 of the value they were listed. So that means they were still selling at list price, close to list price, or above list price, which is a very healthy market. And I think a lot of people are convinced that we are not, you know, our market's crashing. It's not crashing. Yeah. We only had 1.3 months supply in August. In September, it has slowed down. The time on the market has gone up by 30%, but it's not as, it's, that 30% doesn't sound as scary because the average days, and now mind you, I'm just doing South Side numbers right now. Peninsula is a little bit different, but close to. It went from 15 days to 17 days on market. Average sales in August were 1916, and then in September, 1681.
Okay.
1680.
Yeah, so not too much.
Not too much. And then it did go down to 100.3% of that list price for Southside. So again, still selling at value, a little bit above, or as close as possible to what it was listed at. So our market's still really healthy. Home values have increased 6.7% in that month difference. So home values, I know, again, people are always like, well, my home's going to be less than it was before. We were just in an overinflated market back in spring. We are getting to a healthier area now. So prices 6.7% from August to September. And we actually have less listings and sales now than we did before. And that has a lot to come into play too, because a low inventory market, people are always going to be competing for that same house, no matter where, how many buyers are on the market.
Right. So our demand is still higher than our supply. Okay. And that's good to know. And then based on what you've seen, is it, is fourth quarter of the year a little typically slower as well anyway? Or
so what's funny, actually, for as long as I've been in the industry, I've always still seen a really, I've seen a slowdown around October, September. I've always seen a really big push around Christmas. And like I have, usually December has been a really big month for me for probably the last 3 or 4 years.
That's very interesting. What do you think that is attributed to?
People want to get into a new space, especially if you're switching school districts. You have, you know, that winter break. It allows people to move during that time and switch schools for their kids starting January 1st as well.
I think that's very interesting. Okay, awesome. So that's good news. Well, that's perfect. And then, okay, so if anybody wanted to get in touch with you about mortgage lending, how could they reach you?
So you can go to our website, www.mydolphin.com, and it's spelled D-O-L-F-I-N. On social media, it's Instagram at Dolphin Home Loans. You can search Dolphin Home Loans on Facebook. You can always find my personal information on there. We also have 14 other originators too. So I don't, I mean, as much as I would love for you guys to bring me all the loans, we have a wonderful group of LOs in our company that can help service anything that anyone needs. And we are Virginia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida, Texas, California, and we are working on Georgia currently.
Oh, wow. Okay. So a lot of service area.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. And before we go, I want to know, what is your most inspirational book or mentor in business right now that you could share?
So it's hard because I mix my personal life with my business life so much. So I got a lot of insight from Tim Grover's book, Relentless. And actually Matthew McConaughey's book, Green Lights. Loved that book. And he talks a lot about when he changed his role in acting and what made him want to be more of a serious actor than the rom-com, and how he had to go through that transition. And I think a lot of the things that can be applied in other businesses can be applied in real estate as well. We are, at the end of the day, you know, we get our clients from the relationships that we build. Which is super important. And then the book I'm reading right now has nothing to do with real estate either. But it's called Lighter by Young Pueblo. And I'm a really big person on, one, radical honesty with other people and yourself. I think it's something that has to be learned over time. And then also self-awareness and doing right by people, I think, in this business, there are a lot of people that are just out there for monetary gains. And that can only get you so far. When you're out for the people, it will help your business tremendously.
Well, I think that's great. Well, I have a ton of respect for you, Sydney. I really appreciate everything you have shared today. It's been super helpful. If you do want to connect with me, anything about commercial real estate, apartment syndication, you can reach me at, obviously, please subscribe to this channel, Austin Mitchell Fit. Gym background, Austin Mitchell Fit, FIT, or on my Instagram, I am Austin Mitchell. Any questions there, or if you need just a quick connection to somebody, whatever you're looking for, I can put you in touch with any of the market leaders in their fields. And so, again, Sydney, I appreciate you taking the time to do this and sharing all of your knowledge. And I hope to do it again.
Yeah. Perfect. Hell yeah. That was awesome.
All right, y'all.
Thanks, guys.